Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking into someone quite impactful in Birmingham, Pastor Mark Correll.
That's right. We're using insights from Christian Culture News to explore his story and the growth of his church.
And it's a fascinating picture. What we want to do for everyone listening is really get to the heart of it.
Exactly. Not just what happened, but the how and the why. What were the key things behind the church's influence and, well, his connection with people?
Understand the engine, sort of.
Yeah, the core principles that made this religious community resonate so strongly.
Okay, so the source material, Christian Culture News, it covers a lot.
Mm-hmm. His background, how the church grew so much.
His sermons, which were apparently very powerful.
Right, and the actual atmosphere inside the church.
Plus their community work, the focus on being inclusive.
How people felt about him, especially after his passing, and where the church goes now.
So, quite comprehensive. Let's start at the beginning. His background.
Well, the article suggests his early life was a pretty significant, modest background. And early on, he saw community service in action, helping people.
So that foundation was laid early, you think?
It seems likely. That immersion in, well, compassion and service probably shaped his understanding of connection, of need.
Which he then brought to Birmingham. The article says he wanted to foster unity, spiritual growth.
Yes, and it highlights this ability he had to connect with all sorts of different people.
Like a natural charisma?
Perhaps, but maybe more than just charisma. The leadership style itself seems key.
How so?
The article points to this focus on inclusivity, making the space genuinely welcoming, not just saying it, but doing it.
Ah, so actions backing up the words.
Exactly. And looking after people's, well, whole well-being, spiritual and social.
Which must have resonated. People weren't just looking for sermons, but maybe community too.
Very likely. A supportive environment. And the results, the church grew a lot.
Became a mega church. But more than just size, right? The article calls it a sanctuary, a hub for worship and community service.
Yes, tackling big issues, homelessness, education support, mental health outreach.
It's interesting how a church becomes so involved in those broader societal things.
Well, the article emphasizes that his legacy isn't just the numbers, it's the changed lives.
Transformed lives. That's a powerful phrase.
It is. His vision, his magnetic presence, as they call it, left a real mark.
Which makes you wonder, okay, what exactly fueled that growth? Let's dig into that.
A key thing seems to be that vision Pastor Correll had. It went beyond, you know, the standard church model.
How so?
Really pushing for that inclusive, welcoming feel for, well, a really diverse group of people.
So be intentional about it.
Very intentional, it seems. Not just passive acceptance, but actively trying to meet different needs. That feels fundamental.
Right. And tied into that was the community engagement piece.
Oh, definitely. It wasn't just show up on Sunday.
No. People were encouraged to get involved. Food drives, tutoring for kids who needed it.
Other charitable stuff. Concrete examples.
How does that kind of active participation fuel growth, do you think?
Well, it builds a sense of ownership, doesn't it? Shared purpose.
Huh?
When you're actively making a difference through the church, your connection deepens. It's not just receiving, it's contributing.
Makes sense. It becomes more meaningful.
And these weren't just, you know, small things. They addressed real community needs, made the church relevant.
Okay, so outreach was huge. What about technology? The article mentions that too.
Yes. Using social media, online services, extending their reach.
Beyond the physical walls.
Exactly. And really connecting with younger generations who are, well, often more online.
How critical was that tech adaptation, you reckon?
I think it worked with the outreach. It wasn't either.
Ah, okay.
The outreach built real relationships, real purpose. Technology then amplified that.
Let people connect who maybe couldn't be there physically.
Right. Or maybe discovered the church online first. It's leveraging digital tools to support, not replace, the human connection. Broadening inclusivity, really.
Smart. Okay, let's shift to the sermons. People kept coming back.
Yeah.
What was special about his preaching?
The article highlights this engaging delivery style. He mixed scripture, personal stories.
And kept it conversational, not too formal.
Exactly. That relatability. It makes teachings feel less abstract, more applicable to your own life.
Like he was talking with you, not just at you.
Precisely. It fosters connection, makes complex ideas feel, well, more accessible. It's about knowing your stuff, but also connecting emotionally.
The article gives examples. Finding purpose in pain. That sounds intense.
Yeah, focusing on how suffering can actually be transformative. He used scripture, but also his own experiences.
Redemption through adversity. That probably hit home for a lot of people.
I'd imagine so. It reframes suffering, not just pointless pain, but potentially a catalyst for growth, for meaning, offering hope, really.
Validating the struggle, but showing a way through it.
Mm-hmm. Then there was living in grace, unconditional love, acceptance.
Big theological ideas. But the article says he simplified them, made them actionable.
Yes, and that's key, isn't it? Making it digestible.
So it's not just theory, it's how you actually live.
Right, practical guidelines. Focusing on love and acceptance like that, it sends a powerful message of belonging, breaks down barriers.
Makes sense. Makes faith feel less intimidating, maybe.
Possibly. Accessible for everyone, regardless of their background in theology.
And the Faith in Action series, Taking Faith Beyond Sunday Morning.
Yes, applying it to real-world stuff. Social justice, mental health, family issues.
How important is it for a religious leader to tackle those contemporary topics?
It shows relevance, I think. That faith isn't separate from life, but part of navigating it.
Connects belief to action.
Exactly. It likely attracted people seeking a faith that, you know, engages with the world, tries to make a difference.
The delivery itself sounds like it was part of the magic. Pauses, storytelling.
Yeah, the article paints a picture of a master communicator, not just reading, but really connecting.
What's the takeaway there for communication generally?
Delivery matters.
Mm-hmm.
Hugely. Pauses, let things sink in. Stories create that emotional hook, make it memorable.
So it's how you say it, not just what you say.
Absolutely. Making the message felt, not just heard.
And the result, the article says, was inspiring people, lives of purpose, spiritual fulfillment.
Which is pretty much the goal, right? Moving beyond informing to actually inspiring change. That's impact.
Okay, so powerful sermons. But the place itself, the church building and atmosphere, that mattered too.
Seems so. Pastor Carell's leadership shaped that environment. Innovative decorations, creating warmth.
Not just functional, but designed to make you feel a certain way.
Right. The article mentions meticulous choices reflecting the church's mission, outreach, engagement.
So the building itself sent a message.
That seems to be the idea, signaling what the community stood for, creating a sensory experience that reinforces the verbal message, fostering belonging.
They mix contemporary and traditional styles.
Yeah, versatile. And use dynamic lighting, spatial design to make worship more immersive.
Little details making a big difference.
They really can. That blend of styles probably appealed to diverse tastes. The lighting, the space, it can create a more engaging emotional experience, connect people more.
And they commissioned local artists for biblical art relevant to the congregation.
Yeah, that's a powerful touch, isn't it?
Definitely. Builds that sense of ownership, community identity.
It makes the church feel like it belongs to the community, and the community belongs in the church. Features local talent, reflects the diversity. It's very inclusive.
Shows that everyone's background, their story, is valued.
Precisely. Even adding greenery, Tustin displays, seasonal decorations, all these touches add up.
Creates that welcoming feeling. What does that attention to detail say about his leadership?
It suggests real intentionality. Caring about the whole experience, not just the Sunday service.
Recognizing that the environment itself nurtures community and spiritual growth.
Yeah. A leader who understood the power of creating a truly welcoming, inspiring space.
Let's talk more about that community outreach. It sounds like a huge part of their identity.
A cornerstone, the article suggests, based on really understanding local needs.
Not just guessing, but knowing the community.
And building strong connections with local groups. It wasn't just writing checks. It was active engagement, hands-on, relational.
Which builds trust. Has more impact.
Likely. The food distribution is a prime example.
Right, not just handing out cams.
No, alleviating hunger for vulnerable families, providing nutritious meals, but also fostering camaraderie support.
A sense of community around it, addressing the physical need, but also dignity, connection.
Exactly, a holistic approach.
And the youth programs, tutoring, mentoring, that feels like a long-term play.
It absolutely is. Investing in the next generation. Working with local schools.
Why is that long-term vision so important in outreach?
Because it aims for lasting change. Equipping young people with skills, support that goes beyond just fixing today's problem, it shows real commitment to the community's future.
Makes sense. And organizing other events, disaster relief, cleanups.
Yeah, that practical side of faith, getting the congregation involved.
Why is involving the congregation itself valuable there?
Well, it provides the help, obviously, but it also deepens the members' own connection. To the mission, to each other.
Turns faith into a lived experience.
Right. collective purpose, reinforces the idea that faith calls you to act in the world.
Okay, another core value mentioned is inclusivity and diversity.
Mm-hmm.
How did they live that out?
Actively, it seems. Not just paying lip service, they set up specific outreach for marginalized groups.
Like what?
Community dinners, cultural celebration days, creating platforms for sharing stories, building connections, actively bridging divides.
So reaching out intentionally.
Exactly. And importantly, making sure the church leadership reflected the congregation's diversity.
Representation matters.
Hugely. Promoting leaders from different backgrounds, empowering voices that might have been, you know, historically quieter.
And that shapes policies, programs,
yeah.
Makes them genuinely inclusive.
That's the idea. This sends a powerful message.
Yeah.
Everyone's valued. Everyone's perspective counts. Ensures diverse needs are actually heard in decision making.
Provides role models, too, I guess.
Right. Strengthens that sense of belonging, of shared ownership for everyone.
The article says the church became a sanctuary where faith transcended differences. That's quite a statement.
It really speaks to the power of doing inclusivity well.
Mm-hmm.
Shared values, commitment to connection.
Yeah.
It can build a really strong, resilient community.
Okay, so given his huge influence, his passing must have hit hard. What do people remember most?
Compassion comes up a lot. A leader with warmth, understanding, made people feel seen, valued.
That personal connection again.
Definitely. And they remember the sermons, of course. That mix of humor and insight.
Making faith relevant to today's issues.
Yes, accessible but deep. Sparking conversations.
I'm being there for people in tough times, providing guidance.
Absolutely. Empathy, reassurance, more than just a preacher, a real pastor figure.
Someone who cared.
That seems clear. That pastoral care built deep trust.
And the youth work. People remembered his commitment there.
Yes. Gratitude for that. Inspiring, mentoring young people. That's a legacy that lasts, isn't it?
Investing in the future.
Nurturing their faith, but also leadership skills, purpose. That ripples outwards.
And just people sharing stories of him as a friend, a confidant.
It really highlights that personal influence. It wasn't just about the big institution. It was the individual relationships he built. Effective leadership often comes down to that genuine care.
So a massive legacy. How does the church move forward now? How do they continue the mission?
Well, the article suggests the leadership is very committed to honoring his vision, not just preserving it, but embedding it in their future plans.
Proactive steps. Like what?
New programs addressing current needs, workshops, seminars on spiritual growth, leadership development, community service.
Cultivating new leaders with that same passion.
Exactly. Investing in their own people to carry the torch, essentially.
Look, that technology. Still use that.
Oh, yes. Broadening reach with live streaming, online ministry. That aligns perfectly with his inclusivity vision, especially now.
Reaching people wherever they are.
Mm-hmm. And maintaining that commitment to social outreach. The food drives, the cleanups, partnering with local groups.
Staying true to those core values, reinforcing their role as a community support pillar.
It shows that commitment is sustained, that the principles guiding his ministry are still guiding the church.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive on Pastor Mark Correll, what are the big takeaways for you?
For me, it's really that powerful mix. Visionary leadership, yes, but combined with genuine, deep commitment to inclusivity and community engagement.
And effective communication tying it all together.
Right. It underscores that building a thriving community, religious or otherwise, takes more than just a strong figurehead. It needs that understanding of human needs, that desire to connect and serve.
Yeah. And for me, some aha moments.
Yeah.
Realizing how central that hands-on community outreach was, not just charity, but a driver of connection and growth.
Mm.
And the power of making complex ideas feel relatable, actionable, that communication piece.
Definitely.
And just how much creating a truly welcoming environment physically, culturally matters for building something strong and impactful.
It really does. Which leads to a final thought, maybe, for our listeners.
Go for it.
When you consider these principles, dedication to community, leading inclusively, finding real ways to connect, how might those apply in your own life, your own work, your own community?
Regardless of background or beliefs.
Exactly. What kind of heart, what kind of core principles are you cultivating in your own spheres of influence? Something to chew on, perhaps.